So what's going on with Mute 6? I mean, every time I look at you, like I'll go to your page just to see what you're doing and drill down into some of the videos I might have missed. Because I am one of those guys who's giving you that extra like on something that maybe you put up 2 weeks ago. Because I am reaching back to see the stuff that was off my feed way too quickly. Every time I do that, I take a look at your experience and all of a sudden, hey, wait a minute. Last time she was working for company A, now she's working for company B. What's going on, girlfriend?
Yeah, so I joined Mute 6. They're a digital marketing agency focusing on new customer acquisition and retention. And they work with a lot of growth brands. So one of our biggest case studies is MeUndies, but we work with a lot of Shark Tank brands and a lot of direct-to-consumer brands. So I just thought it was super exciting. And then kind of what I've been doing is I've been talking to a bunch of tech companies who focus on the e-commerce space. So a lot of email providers, a lot of like pop-ups. It's just super, super cool. It's a great cross between what I love to do is like communicate, be in the tech space, but then also kind of being a little bit more client focused and kind of like in the know with Mute 6. So I'm super excited. And there's actually something that I haven't posted yet, but with Mute 6, I'm building out a whole program all around influencers. So how to coach influencers to create content so that that content can be turned into Facebook ads, can be turned into YouTube ads. And so I'm finding these influencers who want free products and want to work with brands and just like hitting the ground running with that. So I'm super pumped, and especially when I get to post about it and update my job title.
Yeah, well, and it's happening. I mean, that's great. How did that opportunity come about?
I've been working for Mute 6 for maybe 3 or 4 months now. And when I was interviewing, I was telling them about this past agency that I worked with. And I was doing all of this like growth hacky things. I was scraping lists and I was automating outreach. And I actually had a client who wanted to do influencer marketing. So I completely built out this program, but it never actually ended up being a service that this agency offered. And so when I was talking with Mute 6, they're like, oh, that's so cool. We work with a lot of brands, direct-to-consumer brands with products who would love an extra channel in marketing just like that. And so I was like, okay, awesome. And so it was just a matter of time figuring out a routine with the partnership position and then also seeing how long it'll take to actually build the back end of this service, make sure that there's the reporting dashboards and the deliverables, the KPIs, all that's there before we could actually offer it to clients. And so that's actually all changed last week, where it was all done, ready to pitch clients. And so now I have, I think, like 3 or 4 clients doing influencer marketing through me.
Wow. So in the short time I've known you, the winds of the market have moved you in slightly different directions, but you're always staying true to that, which is you, the Sarah Groves brand. And I always want to point back to that because I'm a big one for people having actual words that they continually reflect on about who they are, what they do, and how they do it. And one of my favorites, my absolute favorites, is yours. I mean, all you have to do is look up Sarah Groves on LinkedIn and you'll see right under Sarah Groves, her profile picture, you'll see breaking things. 2 words, breaking things. And everything that I know about you is true to those 2 words. Can you kind of give us a reminder of what you mean when you say you're breaking things?
Yeah. So for me, breaking things means using things, products, tools, whatever it is, however it's unintentionally meant for. So an example for me is LinkedIn. A lot of people really either connect with everyone. They think it's a great place to build a massive network. There's also the opposite spectrum where people are super choosy on who they accept. It has to be real people that they know, and they make it really a small circle. And so for me, I actually took the approach of, okay, let's create my own custom audience. I know that every single person on LinkedIn who I connect with actually sees my content. And so it's kind of like, okay, narrow down what your content wants to be. So have a focus on the topics and then also make sure that my audience, my connections, and my followers fit that target.
You really are talking about taking, well, Have you ever seen the website IKEA Hacks, where people buy stuff from IKEA and turn it, you know, from a bed into something totally different that's really, really cool? That's kind of
But I should check it out.
Oh, you should, because it's like if you take one of their tables, you can turn it into a deck or something. I don't know. It's just insane stuff, but it's very, very cool. And it reminds me of what you do. You take something that's meant for one thing, or purportedly meant for one thing, and you turn it into something else entirely. And let's go back. You were kind of talking about people having either a, I want as many connections as I can, therefore I'm a lion, a LinkedIn open network person, or someone who's far more choosy. Now, I actually took my inspiration from you and I became a lot more choosy, because I was getting a lot of, I don't know, people from countries I'll never visit and I'll certainly never sell anything to. And I'm like, why would we connect? Because I don't know who you are. I don't know what you do. And I'm looking at who you are and there's not anything there. So frankly, dude, I think you're a bot.
Yeah. And what I've been struggling with recently is the most amount of connection requests I get are just connection requests. There's no personalized thing, nothing. The second most popular connection request I get is just saying hi in an email. That's it. And so you never, those are the ones that I assume are bots. They're from, some of them are from the US as well, but a lot of them are from international accounts, like who work for companies I've never heard of, and like these really strange positions within that. And so that to me sounds like a bot. It looks like a bot, or it doesn't look like someone who I would know how to start a conversation with. And so the third group of people who I've seen like reach out and try to connect are people who look super credible. They add a personal note saying like, hey, Sarah, love your content, but I don't see them engage with it. And so it's like, that's kind of what I've been struggling with, is those people who they look so genuine. Maybe they're gaming the system and they figure out a way to kind of like pull attributes to content, or like attributes of my profile, and give me what I want to hear, but it's, they could also actually be seeing content and just not have the, like the need to go and engage with it. But it is interesting. I have about maybe like 5,000 requests now. And every single time I have a tech in 10, it goes up and up and up.
Well, quantity is not quality. And I've learned that from you. You were the one who told me about changing your contact button to a follow button. You know, I think the default setting for the button that people can punch is connect. Well, you can change it to follow, and that doesn't mean they can't do another thing to actually connect with you, but it's kind of like if there's one step more of friction, that will filter out a lot of people. You know, they'll hit the button and then move on, as opposed to, yeah, I want to follow you, but I also want to connect with you. So to connect with you, I have to hit the button again and ideally give you a personal note. And even better, based on what you're saying, engage with you via comments, via likes, via anything like that, just to get on your radar in the first place.
Right. And it's actually, I kind of, another thing that I've been seeing is I meet a lot of people who ask me, just random people. Maybe I'll go out to a bar and have a conversation. Maybe it'll be someone who I bump in line for like a store line or whatever it is. And they just ask like, hey, Sarah, what do you do in your free time? Like, what are your hobbies? And I always mention, okay, I'm on LinkedIn. And so it's kind of been a little trick where they're like, oh, let's connect. I'm like, oh yeah, but like, I'm having this conversation with you and I'm never going to talk to you ever again. I don't know actually who you are. So I don't really want to connect because it's not really valuable. What's valuable, like a connection to me, is someone who I actually know, someone who is like, can provide like knowledge to me, or someone who engages with my content, because that's super valuable, especially to a content creator, is if you engage with it. And so these people online, these like mysteries in my life, it's really awesome to show them my LinkedIn profile on their phone, and the only option they have is follow. So they can still keep tabs on my content. And if they are interested, they can engage with it. And then once they engage with it, it's a good indicator for me to go out and reach out and connect with them on a mutual basis.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group dedicated to the art and craft of personal branding, and we'd like to invite you. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook and ask to join. You're in, guaranteed. I can't wait to see you on campus. I don't collect business cards just to collect business cards. I want to make connections that are meaningful. And not that I want to immediately sell anything to anybody, but it's like, come on, dude, let's have a relationship that's based on something rather than on some type of reflexive social media, you know, salivary bell ring by Pavlov. Well, that's very cool. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about is you're building your personal brand primarily on LinkedIn that is actually extending outwards from LinkedIn. And again, if you'll remember in the last episode, I was all over you about getting your 50, count them, 50 pieces of content, video content, get those things up on YouTube. And I wanted to go a little bit more into detail about why I'm saying that. One, it's a multiplying effect. You know, what you're doing on LinkedIn is fantastic and you get tons of engagement, but there are a ton of people who might be able to discover you via YouTube that currently have no access to discover you, no capability of discovering you. So that's huge. The other thing is I'm not suggesting you don't also take those, call them five video shows and have them on your own website. Yes, you should, because again, it's a multiplying effect. Each one of those things is going to multiply your presence via search engine optimization. And, you know, sometimes people are afraid of cross-posting stuff. I'm a big believer in if there's a fish in that lake, a fish in that lake, and a fish in that lake, I'm going to throw out the same lure to each one where the fish are. Because let's face it, Google may think they can aggregate lakes together. But nah, if you're a Facebook person, you're on Facebook. If you're a LinkedIn person, you tend to have that as your number one. If Instagram's your jam, same thing. So cross-posting, SEO experts would probably shoot me in the head and tell everybody not to listen to me. But until someone absolutely convinces me that there aren't individual fish in different separate lakes, I'm fishing all three of them, or four, or 15.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I've really only stuck to LinkedIn, but I do have a lot of people reaching out to me, especially on Instagram DMs, just reaching out and just making themselves known. It's a lot less crowded space for me. So when someone DMs me on Instagram, I definitely take notice. I'm like, oh, who's this person? Versus on LinkedIn, where it's a flood of different people trying to get into my face, trying to send me notifications and get a response from me. So that's just another way of thinking about it, is if someone has that channel available, but it's not their primary channel, it's probably a better way to like build a direct relationship with that person or with that brand. So like a great example is I used to do sales for this tech company in DC. I was just like dipping my toe in the water there, but I would reach out to businesses through their Facebook page, just like start a chat in the messenger and have a conversation versus finding them on LinkedIn, finding them, like sending them an email, which most people probably do. Messenger, it was just a clear platform where someone is dedicated to responding there. For a business, it shows how active that person is and their response time. And so it was just a great way to get in touch with people through an omni-channel approach.
Yeah, well, that's key. And it's kind of like if there's this huge gang over in one room of your house and very few people in the other room, but there are servers passing out. I'm sorry, I'm going with a weird metaphor here, mm-hmm. but bear with me. But you're at this party, multiple rooms. You've got one room full of people, and then you've got another room with very few people. And then a server comes through with a tray of hors d'oeuvres, and they're going through the entire house. They're checking out every room. Guess who gets more hors d'oeuvres? The people in the room that has fewer people in it, because there are people designated to pay attention to that room, but there aren't that many people in it. Therefore, your voice is amplified so much louder. So what else totally. Do you have going on? I mean, you're all over the place on LinkedIn, but you are now doing this strategic partnership thing with Mute 6. I'm thinking you got to be paying attention to Instagram in a major way. Because if you're talking to influencers, tons of influencers are getting their most influence via Instagram. Correct me totally. If I'm wrong, but are you considering that as part of your whole strategic partnership mix?
Yeah. So Instagram influencers are the people who I'm working with. It's interesting because yes, I'm on Instagram seeing what's going on, but with the strategic partnership aspect, I am actively having conversations with all these different databases, all these different tech companies with access to Instagram databases where they have these special features and functions where they can filter certain ways, they can detect certain activity to get me the best influencers in front of me in a really uniform list. And so that's what I've been paying attention more than the platform itself and how it works and how the content is being distributed.
So you're looking at it purely from a strategic point of view at this point, more so than paying attention to how it's being executed on the consumer facing end.
Totally. Especially because a lot of the thought process behind building out this influencer program is to have the content funnel back into ads. So a lot of brands who do influencer marketing, they have to have so many influencers posting about it. They have to give each influencer this unique experience where they have to really get these influencers to be an advocate for the brand in order to make sales. And so to kind of expedite that process is take something constant about the influencer. So the constant is the content and drive money behind it, pump it out through Facebook and have that direct response calling or direct response link, making that video or that photo super engaging and then creating an audience behind it on the back end. That's how we're really working with brands to drive more sales. Because once you can turn the needle in terms of sales for a brand through marketing, that's when they become really sticky and that's when you become really interesting.
I just want to underline and take away that I'm going to personally take away from what you just said, and that is strategy first. Because I kind of led you down the, oh, so you were looking for influencers. Are you just going to take somebody that you see does a good job? And you kind of slapped me upside the face and said, no, we start with strategy. It starts with strategic thinking, getting it figured out so that we aren't just throwing money at someone who posts a lot. We're finding the influencers that can really work best for our clients and the systems that we're creating. Again, strategy first. And that goes back to what let me preach one more time. To build your personal brand, you have to have a personal brand strategy. And that brand strategy is exactly what we talk about at Nonfiction Brandversity and also on this podcast. Because I could tell you all day long, you should do 15 posts a day at these times and blah, 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 blah. I don't care about any of that stuff. And there are people who have specialized in it, and I'm happy for them to give you that advice. My advice is know who you are so you can be it. Just the same way that Sarah knows that she's a natural breaker of things, all you have to do is plumb her background a little bit and you'll see her breaking things like the brains of people at Syracuse University and the other employers she's had. She's broken through by breaking things in a really interesting way. So this is
totally.
This is just one more time that I'd like to say that if you don't follow Sarah on LinkedIn, for sure LinkedIn, you got to do so. Her name's Sarah Gross, Sarah with an H, Gross, spelled G-R-O-S-Z. And I will guarantee you one thing. She's not going to pump out crap content. It's always valuable. It's always interesting. And frankly, I guarantee you, you're going to start sharing some of her stuff with other people because it's that good.
Really appreciate it, DP. And let me leave you with one last nugget. Because you sparked a little something that I've been preaching recently, and that's about building a personal brand, especially if you're not familiar with creating content on LinkedIn. And what I've been telling a lot of people is don't start with your own original content. Start with the comments. So how the LinkedIn algorithm works is whenever you comment on something, it gets pushed up to the top of the feed. And to be constantly on top, you have to create new comments. Constantly commenting as fast as you can, but that's your opportunity. If you like take that little nugget of information and put your personal brand into it, create comments that share a little bit about your personal life. How does that post relate to a personal experience? And you will see that a lot of people will start actually liking your comments. Sometimes the comments that I create get more likes than people do on the actual post, just because it's super relatable. I mean, at this point, a lot of people follow me and they know my story, so they're just cheering me along. But that's how you really start creating a personal brand.
I'm sorry, I'm nodding my head almost to the point of it coming off my neck, because I have always, and a lot of people who've seen me speak already know this because they've heard it way too many times, but I believe in making every comment you post the start of a conversation. And that goes for your post as well, you know, because it's a post you put up there and then you wait for the first comment to engage in a conversation with that person. And ideally, it's a multi back and forth thing with people hopping in on the side, commenting on someone else's comment, et cetera, et cetera. And that's exactly what happens. All of a sudden, that conversation is bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's the engagement, exactly what you just said, the engagement that the algorithm is prizing and prioritizing. So when I say make every comment a conversation, that's my shorthand bumper sticker way of saying what Sarah just said.
Totally.
That is so great. And let me tell you, it's always a pleasure to have you on the podcast, Sarah. I hope we can do this again in several months, because I'm going to say it again. There are a lot of people who are just kind of blah on LinkedIn, especially with a lot of, oh, thanks for postings, or follow your bliss, find your freedom, all that stuff. Yeah, okay, fine. I don't need that. What I need is the juicy tidbits of stuff that people like you come up with that were not on my radar. You know, I'll be honest with you, I am now rethinking my stance on Google Chrome because of your last Tech in 10 series that gave 10 fantastic Google Chrome extensions that can help me do what I want to do online a whole lot better. So thank you for that, Sarah. It's great to have you on the podcast. I want to remind everybody that you can join Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group. Just ask to join and you are in. Nonfiction Brand Podcast every Monday. We're going to have episodes coming up with a whole lot of really interesting people. And if you like this podcast, please refer, recommend, and review it, because that helps other people find it. Sarah, thank you so much. For the Nonfiction Brand Podcast, I am DP Knutton, and she is
Sarah Gross.
And I'll talk to you guys next time. Bye-bye.